This is exactly right.
Forgive me for interrupting. I'm Bridger Weiniger, host of I Said No Gifts on Exactly Right. Each week, I invite my favorite people in comedy over to chat, and they always bring a gift. We're coming up on our 200th episode, and every episode is a gem. I have welcomed all kinds of great guests, including Cola Scola, Bowen Yang, Robbie Hoffman. It goes on and on and on. And you don't want to miss the 200th episode with the great Maria Bamford. What does she bring me? Find out April 25th. New episodes every Thursday. Follow I Said No Gifts wherever you get your podcasts.
I have a show announcement. I'm doing an online stand-up show with a one-on-one meet-and-greet to follow. It'll be performed at Nightlight Studios on October 8th at 7 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Early bird tickets can be purchased for $10 today through September 30th at nightlight.tv. That's nightlight.tv. Thank you.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date, terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
Mouth horn.
With Karen and Chris. Welcome to Do You Need a Ride? This is Chris Fairbanks.
And this is Karen Kilgariff.
I'm home, Karen.
Chris.
As you can see by the background.
There's a distinct lack of beautiful paintings behind you. That's how I know you're back in LA.
You mean these beautiful paintings?
That's backwards. Oh, yeah, that's mine. That's the wrapped one.
I haven't taken it out yet. I also grabbed a lot of my dad's paintings that I've admired over the years. And I realized when I got home, I don't have a lot of wall space.
Should we open a gallery?
Yeah, I got it.
Jim Fairbanks?
That's the only answer. I have to open a gallery in my father's name.
You should, and it's going to be, I think the rent each month for the gallery space I'm envisioning for him is going to be about $15,000. So, but I guess we should start making more merch.
Huge endowments for such things.
Oh, is that true? Could we tap into?
Yes.
Maybe David Geffen would help us.
Yes. The government right now is way into the arts and they're just pouring money. Ugh. I know that the liberal arts college in my hometown is just thriving.
It is what these people care about the most. Expression, mm-hmm. compassion.
Yes. But I had the best time. And oddly, though, I walked into my apartment and I don't know if it's in my brain, but I'm smelling hints of some kind of animal urine. Now, I don't know. There is a hole. There's a hole in my closet that is casually covered with clear tape.
Okay.
And I noticed that when
Scotch?
I was putting... it's packaging tape, at least.
Okay.
It's a thicker grade of Scotch. But I noticed it when I moved in, and I just kind of put my clothes in there anyway. But that is where I should go check to see if there's a hole in that tape, because I'm just sensing, I don't know if there was a cat in here, but it smells like cat. Maybe it's a ghost cat.
Could have been that the previous tenants had cats and you didn't notice when you first moved in.
And
now it's like with the summer and the heat and everything that's been going on while you were away.
It is. My nose is deacclimated because I've been smelling fresh Montana air up until the fire thing.
Let me ask you a couple questions. Now looking back on your trip, we'll do a little bit of a scrapbook of your trip, your stay in Montana. Was it a month?
I love scrapbooking.
The verbal scrapbook.
creative memories. My sister was a consultant. It's a scrapbooking hustle. Anyway, I was there a month and a half.
Okay. What would you say was your favorite dinner that was made for you at your dad's house?
Oh, that's a good question. My stepmom, Mel, is actually a very good cook. And great. She made many a meal. But what is standing out the most, I'm a real sucker for a shrimp pasta situation.
Oh.
And I don't know if that means scampi. I throw that word scampi around a lot. But I think it was like a shrimp scampi noodle situation. And I
shrimp that far inland. That's interesting.
Yeah.
That's
You know, they flash freeze it and they can send it anywhere. Even when you have shrimp here in California, they're not just pulling it out of Venice Beach, you know.
Is that true?
Yeah, it's coming from where shrimp are big and being frozen and sent here, too. Same with our sushi. Like, they're not necessarily getting yellowfin tuna out of the Pacific
in San Diego.
I don't eat
seafood, so none of this impacts me. I just worry about old fish.
I wonder what they do when they're bored. It's gotta be I worry about elderly fish. No one's visiting them now.
Ugh.
Because they're in their little fish homes.
Let's move on. What was it in the evening? Did you guys watch a TV show together? Did you ever play cards or games? Did you do like a family fun thing? Or was it like every man to his area?
No. My dad watches a lot of programs and I watched those with him. It wasn't until I got to my sister's that it's like we are playing games and we're playing... And we started watching Cobra Kai, which is for kids.
And I heard it was good, though. Like, enjoyable.
I did, too. But it is laughably, a lot of the dialogue, I was rolling my eyes and yelling no. But I couldn't stop watching it.
Yes.
And I got into the second season, and last night, I watched like four episodes. And, I mean, the fight scene, there are kids, they just live in a world where there's group fights every day. Otherwise, they couldn't show off that these kids learn karate. And they film it in using the same film techniques as kung fu movies. Like someone gets kicked and they just spin in the air as they fly unconscious.
Yes.
You know, like
great.
And they speed it up and it looks like Jackie Chan fighting, but it's kids. And I'm afraid that that taps into something with me. And then they showed all of Johnny, the bad guy, you know, the blonde guy from.
Yeah.
His name is William something. They had all the old Cobra Kai actors
doing
cameos. And one of them had cancer and he died. I mean, that's a bit of a spoiler. But
wait, I wonder if my friend, do you know Ken Daly? He's on Blaine Kapach and Brian Posehn's podcast, Nerd Poker, which is a D&D game playing podcast.
I know about the podcast, but I don't know him, no.
Okay, so my friend Ken Daly, who's one of the very first people I met when I moved to Los Angeles in 1994, he is one of those classic, he is a LA native. You never meet those. He was a child actor. He played the son on a Star Wars Christmas special from 1977.
A Christmas special, like, I have watched, yes.
Okay, he's the curly-haired son on that Christmas special. Ken has had the most fascinating career in life. He was in I have to watch it because he was in the original Karate Kid as one of the Cobra Kai toughs that, like, when they get in that fight on the beach, he's there like, yeah, man. And
Well, the three or four of the main Cobra Kai guys are in the movie. And you know, they don't act anymore. They're probably lawyers and own car dealerships.
Absolutely.
And stuff.
Yeah.
And I bet he's in there. Do you remember was he Johnny or Bobby or Kenny? They all had.
Well, he might have been Kenny because they may have given them their own names. But he was from one. I remember all of us watching it together just to like yell and laugh because he was in it. I think he was wearing a block jacket and he has curly hair.
Oh my.
And he has like a very Irish looking face.
Yeah,
you know,
even the evil sensei was in it.
I love that. You know what they're doing? They're making television or Netflix or whatever. It's Netflix, right?
Yeah.
They're making shows intentionally so that the parents and kids can watch together. That's so smart.
It is. And I did. My nieces loved it. They're 16 and they were like, they were cringing at the same things, but it is the formula, I wish I knew how to write like this, or in general, I've never written a script. What the hell do I know what I'm talking? But it is, it taps into something where it just kept drawing me in, even though, yeah. And some of the, you know, it's 10 people writing it. One of the guys is the Herald and Kumar. He writes all those things. And so,
oh yeah,
there's occasionally like a really good joke. And then I'm like, okay, I'm in. That was really funny and unexpected. I've been loving Cobra Kai, and I've never, I started as a full on hate watch, and I watched the whole thing.
Yeah. Georgia had the exact, this is so funny because on the last My Favorite Murder, Georgia said the exact same thing where like they started watching just because there was nothing else to do. And then they were binging it and they couldn't stop watching it and they loved it.
Yeah, it's totally, you're right. It's combined for young teenagers and their parents who grew up as teenagers watching.
Yeah, I mean, because that's actually very satisfying. Like, I love the idea that your sister gets to sit there with her kids and she knows what's going on. And they're like, oh, it's a show. You know what I mean? Like, it's very inclusive.
What is your friend's name?
Ken Daly.
Ken Daly. We got Rob Garrison.
He's done it all.
The, that my sister and I used to always quote it because he said the Tommy guy and it said the, like, give him a body bag. Yeah. Give him a body bag.
Sure.
It was just some of his improv.
Give him a body bag and then make him unzip it and get into it. Make him do the work a coroner would normally do.
I love where you went with that, Tommy, but could you just shorten it? Less about the coroner and the whole process. You mentioned it embalming at one point.
Let's not make it a monologue. Let's just have it be a quick line because you're taunting him. Really, it's not.
I love that you prepared things. I love that you brought your own script notes. But
the work is great. We love to see it.
But we're gonna kill you off lip. In 2020. I hope you're okay with that. I teared up a couple times.
Sure.
And I can't blame living alone anymore because I just had human interactions. And I thought I'd come home and I'm just right back to being weird. I immediately, my plants ran to the door and greeted me. I immediately went crazy. Is that cat pee, guys? No, we don't know what you're talking about. Oh, plants.
I didn't do anything. I didn't pee at all while you were gone.
What's this puddle under you, Fern? I named the fern Fern. It seemed logical.
Oh, that's good.
Yeah.
The name Fern would be good for a, I was going to say dog, but then it would remind you of where the red fern grows. That's not good.
Oh, I mean, that's one of the only books I remember reading as a kid. And there's a point where he gets in a fight and some kid stomps on his feet with combat boots or with cowboy boots. Mm-hmm. And it really stuck out to me. Also, those dogs die.
They die. The spoiler
dogs
alert.
Die, don't they?
Guys, spoiler alert for where the red fern grows. Hey. If you're going to grammar school in 1975 right now, we're going to really ruin this book for you that probably isn't in print anymore. I wonder if they still make grammar school kids read Where the Red Fern Grows, because that would actually impact a child negatively, which they don't like doing anymore the way they did in the 70s and 80s with us.
Yeah. They used to like to give you a little bit of trauma reading.
Yeah. You're like, oh, I'm sorry. You put these dogs on the front of the book and they're his best friends and it's a whole thing. And then they're dead. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah.
Cool. So, and that you're saying that's one of the many things I'm going to experience in life that are going to be really negative.
They also, did you have to read The Outsiders?
Oh, I fucking loved The Outsiders. I read all of those S.E. Hinton books.
I hadn't read. I of course grew up watching the movie. I grew up continually over and over watching it. I love that movie. And I love the Stay Gold Stevie Wonder song out. But
hell yeah.
That book, it's
Get
really.
Get lost, Hood. Diane Lane yells that at Matt Dillon at the movie theater. It's the best thing of
Mustang's
all time.
A tough car. I was way into the movie, but the book is sad. Like the whole where he runs in and gets burnt. I mean, that stuck with me. That really.
Also, those boys are just kind of on their own. That idea that parents would just kind of like, you know, either die or move away or something would happen. And then it's like, oh, and then it's just a house of boys.
Yeah.
First of all, it's very appealing to me of like, now where's this house of boys on the wrong side of the tracks? But
that are all like ripped adults.
They're ripped and they're all sleeveless in some way. They're very, and their hair's greased down or whatever. But I think I've told you this for sure, but my dad would always read every book we were reading. So he could make joke references to us. So he, after we all
That's
read
sweet.
The Outsiders,
I really like that he did that.
Yeah, he was an excellent father, A+. But he read that book and then wouldn't stop calling me and my sister Pony Boy and Soda Pop. And he thought it was just him being. He never stopped trying to embarrass us at all times. So then he'd like come and stand in the doorway of your room, like, "What are you doing, Soda Pop? What's up, Pony Boy?" And we'd be like, "Dad, stop it. You're ruining it."
While you had friends over.
Yep.
Yeah. I was traumatized by that book.
It was rough. Wait, I have one more anecdote about The Outsiders.
Yes.
Because, you know, that movie hit when I was 12. So it was a very big deal. And it was essentially like junior high Magic Mike in 1982.
You know what totally. I mean?
It was a big deal. 83 maybe. So a girl in my class, Veronica Froschel, had a birthday slumber party. Me and my friend Holly went to it. And part of the party was we were going to see The Outsiders, the 9 o'clock show at the one movie theater in town. While we were walking into the theater, all the people from the 8 o'clock show or the 7:30 show were coming out. And some of them, it turned into kind of this hilarious junior high social hour because there's all these like 12-year-olds and 14-year-olds in this movie theater coming in and going out. So we all come in and sit down in our seats. And this girl in my class, Shemaine Rosales, who is a hilarious person, but she was a bit of a...
The window washers have made their way in?
Oh, yeah. They're washing something. Sorry, they're washing something on the side of the house. I was just like... It's that sound like in a movie where it's like, oh, the second floor, there's a water sound and then it drip, drip and the whole thing falls in on you.
Yeah, like the Money Pit.
Yes, exactly. I have Money Pit fears with this house.
It's a traumatic, another traumatic
As we're
film.
Sitting there, Shemaine Rosales walks up the aisle and I'm like, hey, what's up? This girl in my class, she squats down next to me and the hill, another spoiler alert, everybody. It's another one coming 40 years after. Or so she squats down next to my chair and looks at me and goes, "Johnny dies." And then she leaves. And she said it. Her tone of voice was like, "Look, I'm care about you. I need to tell you this." And she fucking ruined the movie.
What did she do it as a joke, or was she like, "I don't want you to see this and burst into tears, so I'm going to break it to you easy"? No,
it was like a joke. She was savoring the opportunity to ruin the movie for me, but in a way that, like, I mean, this is 13-year-old girl politics that I'm letting you in on right now. I don't think she liked me. I later on found out that she tried to be nice to me when I very first got to that school. And I guess I wasn't reciprocating her niceness, but I was scared shitless because I was switching schools in sixth grade.
Yeah. Yeah.
So she was like, "I'm going to fucking take her down" type of thing. But it was stuff like that where it's just like, wow, you're the worst person of all time. It was hilarious.
I went through the same thing. It was all new kids in sixth grade and I didn't know anyone. And there was a lot of "no one likes me." No. And then at the end of the year,
huge comeback,
but it wasn't without a little work.
Yeah, it always is. You know why? Because the funny kids fuck it up early. We're anxiety ridden and we use comedy to kind of like get what we want. But you have to learn how to do that by doing it incorrectly when you're 12, essentially. Yeah. That was my thing where people, like, when I was older, people would be like, "Oh my God, everything you say is funny." And it's like, it hasn't always been like this. It used to be that everything I said wasn't funny, but then I just kept trying and learned from my own mistakes.
Yeah, of course you have to learn and get good at it. If that's going to be your thing, you want to be good at it. And that's what I did too. I'm like, I'll just make everyone laugh and I won't get beat up like my dad did. All of my stories, because they moved around a lot. My grandpa was a truck driver. I think that was the reason. And my grandma was a teacher. My dad was constantly in different schools and he just had to fight the bully everywhere he went. And so I thought that's what it was going to be like for me. And I was constantly petrified that I was going to just get beat up. And it never really happened.
You never really got beat up, right?
Not until I was older and maybe deserved it or was.
And maybe mouthed off a little bit to the security guard at the Bridgetown after party.
My dad was tough. Maybe I'm tough too. And I'm not.
That's a real story. The one I just referenced, remember? You got into that
place. Oh, man. With the security guard who was an actual police officer?
It was a woman.
Oh, well.
She was not an actual police officer. She was a security guard.
She was an off-duty police officer that was doing security stuff on the side.
For some reason, Charlene,
I got her phone number. I got this cop's phone number and I texted her.
Right.
I said, I'm very sorry. I was being a drunken fool last night. And she texted back and said, don't worry about it. And I said again, no, I was out of line and you were just doing your job. I was peeing by a dumpster. And she said, she did call me an asshole or an idiot, I think.
Yeah.
And I didn't know. I just heard a voice and I was like, ah, fuck off. And you and it just went downhill from there. And then she was vaping. And I started making, okay, vape cop. I called her vape cop. And everyone laughed. And I'm like, yeah. And then I woke up the next day and felt awful.
And that's when the girl that you were seeing, you got kicked out of the party. And then she pretended she didn't see you kicked out and kept dancing with some dipshit. And I remember you making eye contact with me. And I was like, I have to go out a side door. This is getting so fucking high school. Like, can you get her? I can't get in there. Just like, what? She doesn't want to leave with you.
she immediately got married to someone and has a baby now. She just immediately.
Oh, good.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
Perfect.
And then I was going to drive through that. I was going to go to Portland and then go down through your stomping grounds and go to the Bay Area. And it was just so hazardously smoky. I really wanted to go to Monterey and camp. I got a new tent and I wanted to use it. And I decided.
No camping right now, please.
But speaking of the Bay Area, somebody has virtual season tickets. Well, I am a cardboard cutout at the 49ers game.
How come, Chris?
There are a friend of our podcast, Lauren Cannon, works for the 49ers, and she said, send your picture. And so I had a little photo shoot with my friend Athena, who's an amazing photographer, and I wanted to dress. I just, for some reason, I wanted to dress like an old oil man or like a business version of a 49er. I just went. Business cowboy, because I also want to have a picture like that on a business card. And my friend and Athena, they have a cattle dog, like a blue heeler. And I just have these photos with this blue heeler and I look like a professional cowboy. And that is a cutout right next to Blossom.
I gotta say, this is like the third story where you, even though it's our podcast, you're getting shit and I don't get it.
It's a person. She's a personal friend. I met her in San Francisco and we've stayed in touch. It's separate. We have a aside from the podcast. She just and now she likes my stand up and she wanted Chris Fairbanks, the stand up comedian from Rescue Cactus.
I see. I'm hearing what the truth is here.
Formerly.
I'm hearing it.
Formerly. Yep. She was introduced through our podcast. And I bet just didn't want to bother you.
It's too late now.
There's an empty space for you and a piece of cardboard waiting to be printed
I'm
on.
I'm from there. My father's been following the 49ers since they've been good, then shitty, kind of good, then really shitty, then getting better.
I don't deserve it. My father is a Raiders man. But now I see you're upset. Your cord and your earphone cords are tangling.
I'm jealous. I'm jealous of everything.
I will do what I can.
Meanwhile, behind me, there's like purple mattresses stacking up. I never am not given the free things constantly because of my podcast.
No, it's okay.
I want what you have.
No, it's okay. I got the purple mattress stress. That purple thing that you threw in the air the one time we were recording. Yeah. I got one and it's just... I think it's an example of the material in the mattress. I think that
it is.
Inside it is indeed purple. And it is the most, I can't stop playing with it. I can't stop holding it. I don't know what to do with it. Stick pens in it. I don't know.
You know what's funny? I did Jimmy Pardo's podcast recently, and he had the exact same. He goes, Jesus Christ, you got one of these? And I'm like, well, I actually got a full mattress. And then he got really mad.
But he goes, he did.
Well, oh, great, whatever. And he's like, well, they send us these, and I can't stop touching it. And I'm like, well, I had one. I threw that one away because I realized in quarantine, I was like, that's probably the dirtiest thing in this entire house because I won't stop touching it.
You know what you can get? They have these UV or infrared little boxes, and you can put your masks and your phone in it. It's cheap and available wherever you find your UV boxes, Amazon or something. But it will disinfect your phone with light or your little mattress squeezy thing or your masks.
Okay.
My friend had one and I used it, and I'm like, I'm getting one.
Honestly and sincerely, congratulations about your cardboard cutout, the 49ers.
I'm right. What the name of the actress that played Blossom?
Ma'am Bialik?
Ma'am. I'm right next to her, and then another actress who I don't know. I think maybe was a YouTube famous person turned actress. I hadn't watched anything she'd done.
Lily but Singh?
I'm just rubbing it in more. I'm in between.
Yeah, you are.
I'm in good company between
famous
two,
people two that funny. This girl loves.
Yes.
Chris and Mayim Bialik.
Yep. Yep.
Chris and Blossom.
Just making it worse. If it's any consolation, my shoulder didn't quite line up to the cutout. You're supposed to.
Oh, that does help me. That does feel good.
It's not, it didn't, you know, I could have done a better job. I think I maybe kind of blew it by standing with the dog, but the dog is in it. So if you watch, I'm in the third row of the end zone. If you watch, it's just a cowboy with a dog in his lap.
It's Chris Fairbanks.
Yeah.
Wait, so we could actually, when the 49ers play, we could actually watch and try to find you.
If they're getting some TDs. Touchdowns.
Touchdowns, right. I thought you said TVs. I'm like, do they get free? Did you get a free TV because you were a cardboard cutout? I want a TV. I have a TV.
I think I will be visible. People, I think they're going to zoom in on it and be like, oh, there's going to be, stop the gameplay for a minute. There's a dog in the audience. I keep having this dream.
A player passes the ball up to the dog. No one takes it. He's just holding it up there. You know? The guy that just made the touchdown's like, this one's for you, buddy. No, everyone's like, it's not a person.
I especially love the photo because this is a dog. Healers will, like at my friend Ross's, I should say last names like you do. Ross Peterson's.
Ross Peterson.
You know everyone's last name. It's incredible. But I
do
know
why. Oftentimes I call people by their first and last name, depending on the personality. Depending if you're like a person that's their first and last name, it's like it's a little bit of it's just a habit.
I think anyone would appreciate it. I love it when people say, hello, Chris Fairbanks.
Yeah, right. It feels
so official.
Good.
Yeah. You care to know both the words that are my moniker.
And it's almost kind of saying Mr., but it's like, I'm not going to call you Mr. because I know you personally, but you're still a little, you're not close to me. You're still a concept as a person.
Well, then call me doctor. This dog though, at we were in a group in a field. We were just, the bachelor party was just shooting BB guns at cans in a field and we camped. And this, when we were
the
walking.
The sexiest thing to all
boys.
Oh,
God. And yeah, the just sultry photos. A lot of photos were taken. A lot of shirtless, a lot of dirt, a lot of carrying logs over to where we were shooting BB. And a lot of getting shot by BBs. I have scars from it. But this dog would, when we weren't in a group, its instincts to herd cattle kick in and it would nip you in the ankles, which sounds painful, but it was just a surprise. And this dog would always bark at me, and I thought always hated me. And over the years, this dog has learned to love me. And in these photos, it looks like we are the best of friends and we look related almost. It is.
So sorry, if you guys were shooting BB guns, but then two of you went off to find new cans or some weird shit like that.
Cadogan,
the dog would go round them up and make sure they came back.
Cadogan is named after Killer Cadogan, I believe, from a wrestling episode of Ren and Stimpy that used to make us laugh. Anyway, Cadogan would run and you got to get back with the group. And he'd bark.
Come on.
And nip at your ankles until you're back with everyone. And then the dog would relax.
There's a real good, that made me think, there's a real good overhead drone footage of a shepherd, one of those dogs.
Yeah.
Like I don't know if it's an Australian shepherd.
Yeah.
Actually doing that with sheep. And you see it run, but it's it's so high above that you get the entire picture of what the dog is doing. And you watch as these sheep spiral into their pens. And it's all because the way the dog runs and the directions. And it is gorgeous. If you're looking for something soothing and fascinating, it's the coolest.
Yeah, it's like watching birds fly around in weird formations. And it proves how smart those dogs are. They're like, oh, I'm going to fake you out and I'm going to juke you over here. And then...
Yep.
I'm going to get everyone confused and then I'll come from the side and that'll get you in the gate. It's like a person, a person wouldn't even know how to do that.
No.
You'd have
They're fascinating.
You'd have to run and I tried it with chickens I hosted some game show called Who's Most Loved by Animals. It was a remake of a Japanese show. And for
that's the title they went with. Who's most loved by animals?
I think it was what the Japanese show was called, and it was translated.
Just a direct translation.
Yeah. And there was a guy from Japan that was not. I don't think he was happy with how our version of his show was going.
But at one point,
we had to herd chickens, and you got some seed, and you had to get some chickens through this little runway. Into this pen, and no one could do it. And a dog could immediately do it. Like I made a little trail, a breadcrumb trail, thinking they would all just eat together. And then it just turned into me yelling, and then they'd get scared and go in different directions. I was terrible. Yep. I'm a terrible herder.
No, dogs, leave it to dogs, please.
Yes, it is.
And B, chickens. You can't rely on chickens for any kind of critical thinking, any logic based anything. They are not going to do what you want. I was just thinking though, because I do my brain does this automatically. If someone goes, I worked on a show. Here's the concept. Here's what we did. Then I start writing alternate pitches because that's my bizarre compulsive brain of I have to get this job too.
Yeah.
Or I have to. And the first thing I thought of is they should have done that with like 8 geese. Have you ever been around a fucking goose? They're so horrible and
they're
scary and
intimidating.
Mean.
And I don't know what I think they're going to do to me. They're going to goose you. That's what they're going to do.
They will goose you.
They put their beak right in your butt.
The problem with them is they hiss. And so they're pretty, then they're super scary. And when they hiss at you, you can see tiny shark teeth in their creepy beaks.
Yeah, they have little sharp beaks.
Horrible little teeth, yes.
For what? Tearing meat?
And they'll come at you, too. They put their long neck down and their head gets real low and they run at you. Like, but Aunt Jean had two geese, Maud and Clyde or some shit like that. And they would chase us around the barnyard. Constantly, like as children, that they were horrible.
Yeah, that's your whole evening. If you start Googling geese attacking humans, you've got
you're done for the night.
Make some popcorn, baby. Baby,
you're in for the evening.
Yeah, you don't need to go outside for at least 2 days once you get that geese train.
Mm-hmm. Let's go back quickly to the verbal scrapbook that we were scrapbooking.
Yes,
let's just say overall, month and a half is quite some time to stay away.
Especially when it was supposed to be 2 weeks. Yes.
And, yeah.
You gave me permission to stay for a month.
I did.
Yeah.
I like to do that where I come through and act like it's my choice in your life.
Yeah.
And then I go, you can, feel free to. You're fine.
And you said all I have to do is tidy up and clean the dishes every once in a while. And that's what I did.
Did I really?
You did. You gave me instructions.
At the end of the visit, did your stepmom say, thank you, Christopher, and you've been so helpful?
Not outright, but I could.
With her eyes?
We had a good time. And I think I didn't feel like I was a burden, but it was time to leave because looming above them is the fact that I was meeting with my friends and skateboarding and camping, and they don't know. They might think that I'm in a room or in a house with a bunch of people threatening their lives every time home.
Yes,
and
true.
I don't have that pressure here. So that's kind of the only reason I came home, because I could keep staying there. We could keep doing this. I don't know when we might start driving again, but that's really the only thing keeping me in this city is you, Karen. I was looking at real estate in Montana. Like, I don't, you know, everyone's kind of it's so uncertain, but
people need to go places where they can pay for stuff, which is not major cities.
Right.
Which needs to change.
Yeah.
They need to go to places where they know other people, where they can have some community, because it's really terrible to be like in lockdown alone in a city and like your friends are moving away or you just don't get to see them or whatever. I mean, it's bizarre. Anybody that moves home, I'm like, hell yes.
Yeah, it does make sense. Yeah.
It makes sense.
But people the whole time comfort. There, you know, I was just regressed. I felt like a 17-year-old on summer vacation. Like, I don't have any worries. And after a while, that will wear on you because it's like, okay, I have to do something worthwhile. I have to be at least available to audition for distanced commercial shoots or whatever. Something yep. will happen where I will realize, oh, it's a good thing I'm home.
Yeah.
At no point was that going to happen in Montana. I was just going to keep blissfully not doing anything, and I want to be doing something. That's all. So
that makes sense. Yeah, it's hard to. I used to have like true panic attacks when I would go home for like Christmas or a holiday, especially when I was younger, because Los Angeles does have this vibe where like if you're not in town and something comes up, there are 15,000 people who will do it instead of you.
Yeah.
It's not like you're the special one, no matter what level you are at. Like,
yeah.
It's not like that. Yeah. So there's definitely that, especially as for stand-up comics, it's very true. So
I've had it that way. When I leave for 3 weeks or a month, I come home and I'm like, oh, I'm not on any shows.
Yeah.
And I'm out of the improv's rotation. I'm out of the game. I ruined everything just by, but right now everyone is, you know, nothing's happening.
Everyone's
so,
in the game.
Yeah. So I didn't feel too bad about it, but I am glad that I came home and there isn't smoke everywhere. And it seems relatively.
You came home at the perfect time because all the smoke there's still a little bit in the valley, but it's nothing like it was. Thank God. I mean, now that you're home and you've absorbed a little bit back into the city.
A little.
What is the thing you missed?
I miss my friend Jim. I hung out with him last night.
Jim Hamilton, the famous comedian?
Yes. Yes. The famous joke writing master. Jim Hamilton and
a true original.
Oh God, what if I can't think of a second thing?
Gelson's?
Yeah, I missed all my HelloFreshes come here. I like my apartment.
Yes.
That was one of the things. I had all these little furniture things I was getting from thrift stores in Montana. I was excited to set them up in my apartment, and these paintings.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it has to be something like that that gets me excited to come home.
Yeah.
And
Did you get some good pieces in the thrift stores?
I did. I mean, I got more stuff from my dad. I have a reel-to-reel player with all of these reels of his radio work, and he's so good.
I bet he is.
I'm going to get it transferred. It doesn't even sound like him. He is a broadcast. His voice, I mean, we kind of sound similar now, but I listen to him when he's in his early 20s. Yeah, I know.
Remember, he did a little bit of the voice at the very end where he was like, Will, Chris, and Karen. He did like a announcer voice, and it was like, whoa, it was
Who
the
was
coolest.
That?
It sounded like what the radio used to sound like back when there was four choices. And there was like three announcers, you know, he's one of those guys.
Some of it, he did a radio show with this other friend of his, this eccentric guy, Dave Bennett, and they did some comedy routine stuff too. And I've never heard it. And now I have the player. I can just listen to it on reel to reel, but I'm going to get it transferred.
You can listen to digitally. It and you can steal any joke you like because the statute of limitations is up on that material.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll steal.
It's jokes. All your, just steal their act. You've got the new, 1,000-year-old man routine.
That's what Pauly Shore's dad did. My dad would write jokes for him and then he wouldn't pay. He'd say he was going to pay him and then he didn't pay.
For real?
One time I ended up sitting near Pauly Shore or he was on this show that I used to write for and he was a guest. And I said, my dad said that he would sell some of his topical jokes that he did on radio to your dad. And he's like, oh yeah, I remember my dad used to get a lot of jokes from radio guys because they would, it's just a way to source material. But what he didn't, I said, yeah, he never paid him. Of course I had to make it awkward. and that's why I don't work the store. because I have.
That's not the only reason.
No, it's parking. Parking.
Parking is a monster.
Yeah, yeah. I don't want to park at Barney's Beanery and run up the hill and be sweaty to not do a set and just sit and be sweaty and think I'm not part of this boys club.
You actually said Pauly Shorty wouldn't pay.
Yeah. Why? Why did I do that?
It's just, it's your innate need to create moments, special moments.
One time, and I don't, this is probably why, but when Sarah Silverman would have those parties and you were there at this one.
The one where we kept pretending we were going to jump off the roof.
Yeah, that's what I do every time I'm there. Why is there no handrail? There is a railing, but it's like thigh high. It's a perfect place to die. But Jessica Alba was there and we had just had this skateboarder, Steve Alba, that always said he was her cousin. And so she came up and bummed a cigarette from Henry Phillips. And it was so awkward. I was like, is Steve Alba really your cousin? And then she got all stone faced and she was like, yeah, he was really weird to me when I was a kid. Like she didn't get into it, but I was like, oh, of course. Of course I bring up someone that traumatized her as a child. I just always say the wrong thing. It's like,
but also at that party, that's what the whole party was, because there would be this very odd mix of incredibly famous people and comics. And that is a deadly combination because comics can't control themselves.
I can't.
And you're not alone. Our instincts are to say a thing that sound good in our head. And only when we hear it out loud do we go, oh, you could also take this other way.
Yeah.
That happens to me all the time where I think I'm being friendly, but I'm so goddamn like passive aggressive and aggro that then I say it and then the person goes, I don't know. And then I'm like, oh, no, I didn't mean it. I didn't mean to confront you, but I am.
Yeah.
Now that I hear myself, I am actually confronting
you. Damn it. I just remember her walking away and me saying, sorry. That's all I remember. And she said when she got a cigarette from Henry, she's like, so what are you guys doing here? Just like conversation starter. And Henry was like, we're friends with Sarah. She invited us. And then she was like, yeah, I figure that's probably the case with everyone at her party. And then Henry was like, I'm an idiot. God, we were such dorks.
I'm sorry. As a person who is is neutral on Jessica Alba, she asked the fucking question.
She did.
Then
you're right.
Think of a better icebreaker, friend. Yeah. How about you walk up and you go, this is my favorite. You know, Danielle Kramer, who runs.
Yes,
exactly,
of course.
Right?
She's the best.
We were on a meeting the other day and she and Katrina, who is our mind-bogglingly genius business affairs lawyer, they said that they started an interview the other day by saying, do you like Halloween? And the idea of that made me laugh so hard because it's like and Katrina goes, it's a good question if you think about it. And I'm like, no, it's actually a make or break. Like I would ask that. And if someone's like, no, I think it's stupid, I'd be like, and I think you're stupid. Goodbye. Like it's actually the best holiday, you dipshit. Goodbye. And then if somebody says yes, you're now off and running into best costumes, best candy, you know, best memory or whatever.
Yeah, I got it. And especially as you get further and further into adulthood, Christmas, nothing could compete with Christmas when I was young. And now I'm starting to feel that, oh God, I got to go shopping. Halloween is just dress up and have fun. And every year I have pretty lofty costume. I have to do another optical illusion where it's fake legs and I'm holding. Yeah. I have to do something this year.
You have to invent a new version of it.
Yeah. I really have to. Even if I'm just wearing it and no kids come to my door and there's no party, which probably is how it's going to be this year. Of course, that's how it's going to be.
Yeah, it's definitely going to be that way.
I still got to make a costume and at least take a picture
of it.
Hey,
do you want to go and let's collect up spittle from other people's houses and then just see and eat it and see if we get this terrible disease or not?
That was one of my fears. As a kid, they just tell you that every carameled apple you're going to get is going to have a razor blade in it.
Yeah.
I don't know if they Did that happen ever? I mean,
you know what's funny? And I will refer you now to some episode of My Favorite Murder. I can't remember. Did Stephen Lee?
It's just his forehead is still there. Did your stool break? His stool broke.
He literally just popped up like a gopher in the gopher game.
Whack-a-mole.
Yes, he just...
I have a new desk chair, so it's just very comfortable.
No, sorry, Stephen, but remember when Georgia did... She actually went over the myths of Halloween and there was a little girl who got killed by a creep in her neighborhood because she went up to the door alone, and that's when all of the stuff started. But that was a true... You know, some psycho opened the door and there was a 7-year-old standing there and he pulled her into the house.
Oh, no.
And ended up murdering her. But then there was other ones that none of them could be traced back. Oh, except for maybe the pixie stick. Razor blades never actually happened. There's nothing on record.
It was episode 143.
Thank you, Stephen. If you want. I swear I wouldn't normally do this, but when Georgia did it, I was like, this is fascinating, because she goes through basically the stories you hear and kind of why you have heard them.
And you did that around Halloween last year or something?
Like 2 years ago.
Years ago, yeah.
Oh, that's weird. So, because I was so scared of a razor blade being in a wrapped candy bar. That's right. One of the things, it's like, in the impossible. 80s, as a child, you're scared of nuclear war and razor blades in your candy.
That's right. Kids these days, they don't appreciate that they don't have to fear razor blades all the time. It's not even a part of life.
They're just more logical. They're like, what are the chances someone's going to do that? And they go on with their day. I had crippling anxiety and I had my bag of candy all year. I'd carefully eat one piece. I'd break it up with my fingers and put it in and taste for poison as if I know what poison tastes like.
You may have had a light case of maybe anorexia.
Perhaps. I mean, and also after each piece of candy, I would brush my teeth and my dad would come in and be like, you don't have to brush your teeth after each piece of candy, because then I'd eat another one. Let's see how the toothpaste changes chocolate.
Ew, you mean ruins it permanently? That's terrible.
Speaking of candy, I got a pack, and this is going to be another situation. Hopefully you got some chocolates from Australia too.
I didn't.
From at Dallas and Fern. She brought and it's the same as your Canadian.
I just
want to
make sure that when you open these boxes, that my name isn't on them, and but you're just going like, it's me in my life.
People,
right?
That's not happening. It just says Dear Chris.
Okay. Well, then that's yours. Look, straight up.
Yes. If it said, this is for Karen too, I had these Kit Kats for you and I had them for months in my freezer. Then COVID hit and I got to be honest, there was just one night I wasn't having a great day and I ate all the Kit Kats and those were your Kit Kats. They were given to me. I was told not to eat them. They said, you can have the matcha one. These are for Karen. They're the Canadian milk chocolate. There's no wax in them. They melt in your hands. And I ate them all. I ate them all, Karen. They're so your good. Kit Kats.
Look, hey, first of all, thank you for this honesty. This is what I'm looking for, ultimately. It's better than candy.
After each one, I said, thank you, Karen.
I do not blame you, because those Canadian Kit Kats are the best candy that exists on the planet. So, like, if they had given me 8 Kit Kats to give you, I would have never told you. Yeah. I would have never given them to you. It would have been my dirty secret for the rest of my life, because it's that good. That's
it's
how good that
about
candy
the,
is.
I don't, in America, not to be anti-American, but here we go.
Again.
We're getting into it. Hate to get
Again.
Political. They put wax in chocolate here.
Mm-hmm.
They do something and it's not the same. The minute you're holding a Canadian chocolate item, it just, first of all, just starts melting in your hand. You need napkins and silverware. You got to get a plate, because this thing, it just dissipates. It's my mouth is watering now.
Wait, hold on, I have to show you this picture. This just scared the living shit out of me. The window guy just came up the ladder and then popped up over the computer, and I saw him and you guys. So
he pulled a Steven. He pulled a whack-a-mole.
He popped up like Steven. Yeah. In a place where no one ever goes, because it's my window.
He just got a new comfortable ladder.
Also, he told me when he first started working that he is third generation window washing company.
Oh, he must be good.
His family's been doing it for years. It's amazing what I'm watching right now. I'm trying not to make a big deal about it, but he's doing it real fast and real good.
No streaks.
No.
I'm going to do it. It's time to wash my windows and I'm going to do it.
Yeah. You got to get down to a CVS friend.
Who you got says it. That? It's that you're selling Greg Barrett.
Friend. Oh, I haven't talked to Greg Barrett. So that just reminded me. He texted me about 8 months ago and I never texted him back. God damn it.
Yeah. Same with me. A long time ago, he just checked in and said nice things. And of course, let's call Greg Barrett.
Yes, for sure. Let's both do that. Oh, I hate that. I do that all the time because people text me and I'm doing something. I read the text and then it gets pushed down and then I just kind of never look again.
Hey, we're
popular. And then every once in a while, like once a month, I'll be laying on the couch, like on the weekend, and I'll look through like my past 50 texts and then go, oh shit. Oh, fuck.
They add up. And then if you're not paying attention, texts, everything.
It's relationships crumble.
Yes,
you're
they
alone.
Do.
Everyone it's COVID takes it and personally. You're alone.
Yeah, and then all of a
sudden, of course they do.
Yeah, why wouldn't they? But I swear, it's just because other more important stuff came up.
It's just that more attractive people are texting.
Right, I have it on a looks based basis.
My thing is, are you married? You get bumped down automatically. Do you already have a relationship? Goodbye. I don't care. I need the hot singles in my area to take up the first 30
exactly.
texts.
Oh, I consider please. Wardrobe, everything. Where you live, the likelihood that we'll have lunch. I'm sorry.
It's all being considered.
That's one of the things I like more about living in the middle of Los Angeles. No one was ever wanting to even reach out to me when I lived in Venice because they would think, well, when am I ever going to see him? He lives in Venice. Yes. Now I'm in the mix, Karen.
Yeah, I know. You're there with your bowling league you won't share with me, even though you pretend you're going to every time and you never do. This is I'm really being confrontational the second you get back to town.
Hey, you're right. I've left.
Hey,
I've taken advantage. I've never gone bowling with you. I go with my bowling buddies, and that's something we could do.
I'm sexism.
I'm going to get a ball. Good. Well, it's just those. Yeah, I need a ball. I need a ball that fits with my fingers.
That fits your fingers.
Yes, because it makes a huge difference. And they're weighted and you can learn to give it the English and kiss the old gutter. Have it carved back in. That's how you get strikes, Karen. All these
that's
years.
That's how you get strikes. And that's how you get babes at the bowling alley.
Babes
by doing the old
it.
Whip around.
They love it.
They love it.
Oh, did you hear him kiss the gutter? They're like, you know.
I hear he kisses gutters.
Oh, she got the wrong idea. She's clearly not a bowler girl.
Girl, meet me in the bathroom. We're going to talk about these bowlers. That's me and my girl posse at the bowling alley.
I am going to get a ball. I'm going to be a bowler. But, you know, right now, the last thing you want to, again.
Not right now.
You can't stick your fingers in those holes.
And yes, that plus all the expiration of how much grunting and groaning and kind of exhaling goes into bowling. That's going to make any bowling alley high risk area.
I am very audible. You can hear me grunting every time I toss the ball because it's every bit of strength. They really are heavy.
They're heavy.
And I just sound like a tennis player out there. I'm a real McEnroe when it comes to bowling.
Yep.
Very grunty. Spit, just sweat. I sweat profusely.
Do you have a bowling alley in your hometown in Montana?
You know, they keep closing, but I did grow. I mean, that's what else do you do in a small town? We would go bowling all the time. I'm good at bowling. I'm good at billiards. That's just stuff you do when you're in a small town. There's no professional billiards players that are from the city.
No, they're all from towns of about between 4,000 and 19,000.
I bet. We could check the statistics on that, Steven.
We should.
You don't have to.
Steven pops up and then goes right back down. Petaluma, when you get off the 101 and you take Petaluma Boulevard South, which is the exit to get to my parents' house, you pass Boulevard Lanes. Which is because it's on Petaluma Boulevard and it's the bowling alley. And it's been there, I mean, I would guess since the 60s. maybe earlier. It's always been there. And I started making my sister, Adrian, and Adrian's kids and everybody go there on the holidays. Like if I was home for Thanksgiving or if I was home for Christmas, I'd be like, come on, we have to all go bowling. And I don't think anyone particularly loves it, but it is a really fun, funny, weird hangout and something to do. And you get like their really bad for you, but insanely delicious fried food from the place is like the best. But then we're all laughing because we're like, we're eating French fries and then going to bowl and coming back and be like, do you have that? Who's got a wet nap? Like, it's the funniest.
I feel like I'm not fun to bowl with. I'm a little weird about not being good at things. I get frustrated when I golf and they're hard. There's people, that's why there's professionals. It's like hard to be good at it, but
It's hard to be good at it.
I get a little frustrated when I bowl.
I've seen you walk away from a Quiplash Zoom game with comedians and just go start doing pull-ups because you couldn't get your sound to work.
You know, I was riddled with anger.
That was really funny.
Because I was doing well. I was winning. And then
you were the winner every time.
I kept
your answer was the funniest.
The app off my phone, and then you have to re-log in. I kept screwing myself, and I didn't think I was ever competitive because growing up, I just wanted to skateboard and do things that are solo sports. I didn't like team sports, so I've always said I'm not competitive, but I'm a monster.
Yeah.
I'm so competitive.
Yeah.
And I didn't realize it. I got a fit, and I pout and I throw little fits. I'm a real son of a bitch, Garen.
But that's the kind of personal fuel that gets you to the point where you get good at things, so you can kiss the gutter. You have to care. And you can't be like, I care, but not so much that it doesn't injure my ego when I'm bad. If you suck, you suck. No one wants to suck at anything.
Right.
So, of course, we all have these reactions. If you're sucking a little bit, you're just like, there's nothing more painful than the walk back from having bowled a bowling ball into the gutter. And then everyone's just sitting there staring at you. And you go, oh, not only did they see me fail, but they watched my ass the whole time that I sucked. Like, that's, for me, that's a 1-2 punch that hurts my feelings. It hurts me.
And on a league night, you're also affecting the rest of the team and your standing. In the roster.
You're affecting your environment.
I'm afraid that the Holloway won't even have a bowling league next year because of me stinking it up. I left a stain with that organization.
Should we wrap this down?
I'm happy to be in the same town, even though this is the same as if I was in Montana.
I know. It really is. But at least you're a little bit closer.
Yeah.
We're all in the same time. In the same time zone.
Yes.
That's nice.
Yes. I'm happy to be back. I was having mixed feelings, but once I got here and everything was normal and people were walking around and the sun was out and people are smiling and, well, I assume they are. They're all wearing masks, but I was kind of happy.
Crinkly.
I was happy. Yeah, you can look at their eyes and tell if they're smiling.
Nice.
I've been fake smiling where I just give people the eye smile when they look at me. It's almost more work to isolate your mouth from your eyes and just smile with your eyes. But I've gotten good at it.
Yeah, you're just squinting at that point.
Yeah.
I also have noticed that if I'm around someone that I would like to talk to for whatever reason, I do a kind of like an over the top silent movie kind of eye expression of like, you know, like I'm emoting like 10 times more than I normally would be of like, like my voice is very over the top.
When we're finally done with this, everyone's going to be acting like they're in a Disney Channel show or something.
I know.
Just it over really the is. Top, giant eyes.
Nice to see you or whatever.
Why is she acting so raven?
She is so raven.
I am. We're all being so raven. Oh, God, I need a haircut. Our friend of the podcast, Annie G. Money, lives in Spokane and is friends with my sister. And she was going to cut my hair, but I left that morning that she was available. So I was so close to cutting it. I mean, look,
I don't know. Maybe keep going. Just keep going.
It's not ever going to go down. I'm at the point now where I can do a man bun. It's just out of hand.
Okay. I wouldn't live there for too much longer.
You say I should go with the cornrows then?
I want it to seem like you just took a carnival cruise with your parents to Jamaica and it's 1994.
Yeah.
That's the
before
only
anybody
time.
Was like, guess what, Whitey? No one wants to see big things of your scalp.
Every time I've been on a cruise ship, yeah, there's little white girls with cornrows. And I'm like, oh, with something wove into it, like a colored hair piece. I think I'll do it. I'm a grown man. I can pull it off.
Do what you want. Yeah, you can do. You can
cornrows
totally
and
you
mustache.
Want.
Oh, what a terrible look that I'm about to embrace. Oh, God.
Please do not.
Oh,
I beg you.
Okay, I won't.
All right.
Well, I'm happy to see you, friend.
Yes, you too. Welcome home.
Thank you.
I'm glad you had a nice kind of, you know, nurturing home experience. And then,
it was downright spiritual.
But I'm more excited now to get my painting because that's
yeah,
where the action.
You're really going to like it. I looked at it again before my dad wrapped it, and it's really good.
It's so good.
It's just really colorful and great composition. And he's a good painter.
He's a great painter.
And on that note, you've been listening to Do You Need a Ride? D-Y-N-A-R.
A-R. Honk, honk.
Are you leaving? Are you on your way back home? Either way, we want to be there. Doesn't matter how much baggage you claim. Give us a time and date. Terminal and gate. We want to send you off in style. We want to welcome you back home. Tell us all about it. Were you scared or was it fine?
With Karen and Chris. We did it perfect.